Things are about to get real.
Yeah, things are going to get weird. Locker room weird.
You guys got to hold it together, man.
For your wife's sake.
Recorded live at Super Training Gym in Sacramento, California, this is Mark Bell's PowerCast, sponsored by ThePowerMagazine.com, HowMuchShitBench.net, and BSN, makers of NO.
I almost got Mark.
Look for BSN products at bodybuilding.
Check out Instagrams.
Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McKee.
Oh, you got him on the tan. Mark, you look pale as shit. You know who really wins? I win. My tricep goes on for infinite. It got cut out of the picture. You don't know how big my tricep might be. It could be 30 inches.
Could be Eric Spoto-like.
I need to start wearing bigger shorts because your quads look huge.
Yeah, yeah, baggy. These are like the MC Hammer shorts.
Did you get out-angled?
No, you got out-angled and out-tanned by Danny, but I got the infinite tricep picture.
I win because my tank top's covering my junk, because you can't see how tiny it is.
How low does your tank top have to hang to cover your junk?
Not very low.
It's actually a crop top.
It's just a little bit below your belly button.
Yep. All right, let's go back to this argument of pornography that we were discussing earlier.
Damn, right
we,
to
well,
it?
We started right to it. We started talking about granny porn for a second, and then Danny
we'll tell
got
our
all
granny
excited.
Porn story.
So
no warm up, no nothing, no
right.
Lube.
No, there's no
right
intro.
To right to it.
Just
no, right to the
right. Yeah, right in.
I heard somebody once say they just go right for the butthole.
Straight to the butthole.
They don't even go reach down the front of the pants. They reach down the back and they go right to the back door.
Hi, Mom.
I'm not sure how many years ago this was, but we're having a discussion. You know, who do you watch when you watch porn? What type of porn do you watch? Like,
this is foul, by the way.
Yeah.
And I don't approve
of
any of this. You guys are fucking disgusting.
And,
fucking married, dude.
There may be kids listening.
So Joseph, I was asking Joseph, and I know he's a sexual person. He enjoys, he enjoys stuff like that. And I was really interested to hear what he had to say.
Kind of blaming Joseph. Yeah. He
broke it down to me, and he told me the best type of porn and why. And he told me.
What did you say, though?
He tried to convince me. He tried to convince me that tranny porn was the best porn. And right off the bat, I was like, I don't even want to listen to this. And he was like, just hear me out. Hear me out. He has some valid points.
I do.
He has some valid points.
Let's hear your argument.
Danny can say.
Well, his valid point is it's a hot girl, but she has junk. So it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah. You're going to look at junk anyway. You know what I mean? Would you rather see freaking...
Are you talking to me or the people listening?
If you're watching,
I'm looking at junk.
He's talking directly to you, fucking sicko.
I'm talking to everybody.
He looked right in your
He's
eyes.
He's talking to the world.
I'm looking at junk.
Porn,
all right, I'm looking at
you're
junk.
You're going to see junk anyway.
Might as well have boobs attached.
And it's on some dude with a fucking beard and a slick back hair or whatever.
Typically, he's jacked,
though. Might as well have boobs on it if you're going to see that junk anyway.
What about girl-on-girl porn? I believe I won't see junk.
Yeah, but you kind of enjoy
really
seeing
girl
a girl. You
me
enjoy
or
the...
people again? Can we define? I enjoy the junk.
I don't really watch girl and girl. I need the junk. You know what I mean? Like, you need to see it. You need to be able to relate.
Insertion.
Yeah, we were talking
one
day. We were talking one day in here about porn, and I was telling I don't know how it came up. Yeah,
powerlifters.
And I was telling the other guys, I'm like, you guys, I know how it is with you guys. Because we're all the same. You see big dick. There's big tits. There's like, you know, all these different categories. There's anal, right? There's all these different blowjobs, right? Big dicks. Who's clicking on the big dicks? The fucking dudes.
You
fucking
know,
admit it. Admit
you know
it.
What we heard? Detroit, our gym manager back here, told us the best day of his life, I believe, is when he saw an African-American porn star with a small wiener.
Yeah, he
thought he won the world.
He
said he
that
clapped
day.
And jumped up and down.
That day.
Do you guys have
I
a link?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a link?
There's probably absolutely no proof that ever happened. Yeah, big dicks.
Name?
You can't click on it fast enough.
He was probably Puerto Rican. He wasn't even black.
Yeah. Disguised.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. We had Tristan Scholin here, one of the most disgusting people to ever walk through Super Training
walk
Gym.
Walk on the planet.
Yeah, pretty much. And he said he was trying to fucking get off one day. He was, you know, masturbating. He's doing his thing. He's watching porn after porn after porn. He clicks on Training Train, and boom, he's done. So your case, in this...
That's the grossest man I've
yeah.
talked to porn.
Yeah, yeah. You know the Training Train put him over the top.
Takes it to another level.
He
dude.
Saved it and everything.
Yeah.
Bookmarked it. He was ready to go.
Also, going back, I didn't say it was the best porn. I'm going to watch a guy and a girl every day. But Danny, he left this part out because it was about him, said that he likes to watch granny porn, and it's been doing it for him. Old wow. ladies.
Hey, granny.
How no, old? Hey. No. Rewind. You did. I didn't say I was watching it. I said I clicked on you it, and I checked it out. I'll tell you my
investigation like purposes
it.
Only.
All right. Yeah, so then from there, what I said is, hey, obviously, I'm going to go and watch normal porn all the time. But if I'm going to get stupid, I'm not going to watch an old lady. I'm going to watch some, like, I would rather watch tranny than old lady. Mm. It's basically where it came to. I'd rather watch guy and girl.
Vote below. Tweet us. Yeah. Tweet us your answers.
He's lying. Because I'll tell you right now what my favorite porn is. And it's usually casting couch. I like watching the old casting couch. You kind of like talk to him a little bit. There's a proposition.
This could turn into casting couch right here. POV casting couch. Here we go.
Actually, I gotta go. I just got a text.
Running out of time.
I have nothing to do tonight.
I'm sticking around forever.
I'm never gonna leave this place.
Well, what the fuck would happen if like the same person was good at porn and could act? Because that never seems to happen in the same person.
I think that's Kim Kardashian or something. You get some celebrity porn going on.
I don't know, but really,
I don't know. Kim Kardashian's. Fine.
I don't think she's all that convincing as herself. Let alone,
I think a lot of the girls are actually acting and good at porn.
Sasha Grey, she's made her way into Hollywood.
These ladies are talented. Let's face it.
I think they put on more of a show than they probably would in the real.
Well, you figure they start off in college, right?
I mean, they're all
in college.
Yep.
I'm talking about the scenes leading up to the fucking. Not how well, like the dialogue. Yes.
The dialogue. Oh yeah.
I blame the story writer, not the actors.
Yeah, it could be the writer. Yeah.
You gotta blame the director.
Yeah. Who else other than Sasha Grey has transcended? Tracy Lords back in
Tran.
The day.
Transcended.
Well, there's two real actresses on the movie Boogie Nights. There's two real porn stars. Yeah.
You guys are professionals.
You guys have been keeping tabs.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm pissed. I'm actually pissed because I forgot the name. But there's two porn stars. The one guy, Little Bill's wife, who fucks everything and then he shoots himself.
Never seen it.
She's a real. Dude.
I know.
You've never seen...
I'm the worst with all this stuff. They kill me all the time.
Yeah. So she's a real porn star, and then
don't run another podcast till you
yeah, for real. And then we'll talk
until
about
he's
it.
More well informed about what's going on in the fucking world, right?
Yeah. So there's two porn stars in there. They seem to pull it off. Sasha Grey has some stuff. I've seen a porn star in a random ass commercial like Sugar.com.
Sasha Grey did that movie, but she was also really good in. I thought she was good in Entourage. I mean, she played herself, but...
You guys are deep. You guys thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
Sasha Grey from Sacramento as well.
Also from Sacramento.
Really? Shout out Sacramento!
We got to get her on the show.
God damn.
That would be terrible.
We need to work on that.
Sacramento.
Well, I got a number. I could just text her right now.
Okay. Yeah, hit her up. Yeah. Hit her up over there, Last Call. How'd you get the name Last Call? What do we got going on with that?
I used to party a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you were hanging out till the last call.
Yeah, basically. And then in college, the next day, we'd get up and run 6 a.m., run a four-mile run, and I'd always be able to do that.
You were still there?
Being still drunk. So the name kind of just carried on.
You had to give some of that up to take it to the next level with fighting?
Yeah. Yeah, I quit drinking 3 years ago.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
Yeah. And, that's really cool. Joseph was one of my inspirations, actually. Not to get all sappy going from porn to sobriety,
porn to sobriety, only on the PowerCast.
We've got
duality here on this podcast.
Seeing him make those changes and, you know, I was like, that's what I wanted and, you know, it's been good.
You were thinking, if he could quit porn, I could stop fucking drinking.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about porn now.
But he's still watching porn, probably. You're supposed to be getting married.
I'm engaged.
Well, you're engaged.
I've never watched porn.
You set a date and
that's
everything
gross.
To
that's
get married.
That's for losers. I got the real thing.
Yeah. That's gross. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you?
But like we said, that was back in the day when we were talking about porn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Back then, 10, 15 years ago.
Preface that. Thanks, Danny.
Good looking out. Good old fist pound.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys just got done with a training session. You have a fight coming up?
I do.
Who are you fighting?
2 weeks. 2 weeks, I'm fighting a guy, John Moraga, UFC 187.
John Moraga, if you're listening to this, you're fucking done, buddy.
You'll never walk again.
You're fucking done.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So it'll be nice. Promo on him. Big card, UFC 187. I'll be repping the slingshot, Mark Bell slingshot for the support. Came in, got a workout at this awesome gym today. Came with Amadeo, our strength trainer.
Do you know
Taco
Amadeo's,
Truck?
Yeah, you know. Do you know his nickname?
Taco Truck.
Taco Truck.
Is that really the thing?
Yeah.
The biggest Mexican on the planet.
Yeah. He's a fucking giant Mexican, right?
He's a big dude. Isn't
he's
he?
Like fucking Desperado. Said I told him he was the most, the biggest Mexican I've ever seen. That's what's, fucking Amadeo.
Yeah.
Taco Truck.
He's a big man.
What's been some of the changes you guys starting to train with him? Were you guys doing regular strength training before you met Amadeo?
Probably you know what? The nickname. Because it's Coach Mumbles for us.
Yeah.
Coach Mumbles.
Yeah.
He was on the podcast.
Seven sets of three. Like, what?
Yeah.
Seven sets of what? Seven sets of three. I'm like,
I call him Amageo, too. He doesn't appreciate that.
Well, he's so far away, and he mumbles, you know, because he's so tall, he can't hear.
His sound rises.
Yeah. Well, that's what was amazing about having him on the podcast, because it was real spontaneous. We happened to be here one day, and he said, hey, you know, we need to do an episode.
Great.
Yeah, and he was awesome, and we could understand him. He was articulate. It's like, I was afraid. I was like, I'm going to be on the thing the whole time, trying to keep the level up, and he didn't mumble.
Maybe we'll take a fake mic into the gym.
There you go.
And just be like, what's the
just
rep
speaks
count?
Perfectly.
Yeah. And he just comes out.
Stick it into his face. What's been some of the changes for you guys?
What'd you just say?
Stick it in his face. Why not? You know?
It's an everyday occurrence.
We're all friends.
Yeah.
What's been some of the changes, you know, training with Amadeo?
For me, he was my first strength trainer. So, I mean, there was obviously a change from having no strength trainer to going with him. But, I mean, I've just felt so great and confident in my performances and what he's been doing for me that, you know, I've never had to change it. But the change from the first, from not having one to having one was kind of everything for me, you know. It's a whole new aspect of fighting. Like, I was fighting at a higher weight class, and I lost my first fight, and I was just like, fuck. I was literally walking around at what I was fighting at, 135.
Right.
I was tiny back then, fighting at a higher weight class, not cutting any weight. I lost. And I was like, all right, the guy, I don't think he was really better than me. He was just, I could feel the size and the leverage. And, you know, the guy's cutting from 60. I'm walking at 35 every day, you know, decided to go and just start doing some strength training, adding in that, you know, part of it. Because before you just think, oh, I can just fight and go in there and do everything. But you always got to start adding these things, especially, you know, me and Danny being veterans now, you're always adding things and making adjustments and stuff. So that was about 6 or 7 years ago. I think Danny was already using him. So, and Danny was one of the strongest guys I'd ever went with. Like, the guy's just a freaking bulldozer on top. And it was just like, hey, that's the right thing to do. And since
Danny
then,
likes to be on top.
Huh?
Bulldoze.
He likes to be bulldoze. Kind of pile drive, plow.
Switch it up.
Can we use the word plow?
Slam. Slam. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a bunch of strength coach wrestling in college, junior college, and then the 40 level. And I started working out with him, and he was actually – it was like his first week at Midtown.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't even a trainer there. He was just got out of football, and he was doing some kind of – Camilo had us do some sandbag stuff, and it was just him and I. And then I started seeing him training. The thing that I like about him the most is his willingness to learn. Like, he's always studying. He's always up on the new stuff. And, you know, I'll see something come to him, and he's like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's Dan John, or that's Chip.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, he knows exactly what's going on. And I respect that the most. And that gives me the complete and utmost confidence in him. So if he tells me to run through a wall, then, you know, it's going to suck, but I'm going to try to do it because I believe that I'll go through that wall with his confidence. And just the evolution. His gym is sick. I mean, this gym is sick also, but he's got a great gym too. And he put that all together from the bottom all the way up till now. And, you know, they gave us a membership at one of the local gyms to go lift weights. I went in there and I don't even know what to do. You know, if I'm not lifting with my boys and talking shit and slapping ass and grab ass and all that, what am I going to do? Like, you know, some shoulders.
Yeah, you can't just go grab some old man's dick.
Yeah.
When he's lifting.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a little weird. It's a little weird at first. But then you get to know him, and then it's not as weird. But
sounds like 24 downtown.
Yeah.
So that's what I was talking about. Yeah. So you've been there.
Shoot hoops, maybe.
Hey, we've all been there.
Right? Shooting hoops is the next big thing, but now Amadeo threw in a freaking basketball hoop at his gym. That's all we need.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so now we just shoot hoops.
We got to go.
It's adjustable.
Can he dunk? Yeah.
I think he probably can. That guy can
so
fucking
tall.
Move from being so big. Like, you think you can, like, a guy's over there open, his first step is just like, it's so fucking fast the way he covers ground. It's crazy. And it's like, another thing, touching off Danny, what he was saying about just like, just believing him, what he's saying, like, that's huge for a coach. Like, you got to believe in what they're doing. Like, they can be showing you the best techniques and the best this, but if you don't believe in them and it's going in one ear out the other and you don't have the utmost confidence in it, what he's doing, then it's like, then the techniques don't matter. But if a coach is showing maybe, like, I'm saying even like an MMA coach, maybe not showing great techniques, but you have that belief in it, you're going to go in there with confidence and everything. You know what I mean? So, you know, with him, we have the best the best of both worlds where we believe in it. We're getting the best techniques. And that's just huge to look in the corner and know, like, I fucking believe in that guy, what he says. He has my back. He's there for me. And that's how I feel about Amadeo as well.
Yeah, it helps a lot that he's a former athlete, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just some guy preaching to you. He played football on a pretty high level.
Just and he's, state, yeah.
Yeah, he's legit. How'd you get into fighting? We'll start with you, Joseph.
Shit, man. It's crazy. I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, I know how I got into it, but you know what I mean? It's like you're always – you just feel like, hey, that was my only choice. You know, that was
right.
That was how it was going to be for forever. You know, even as a kid, I always thought I was fucking Van Damme. I actually thought Van Damme was my uncle because my aunt lied to me. I told everybody at school – and, like, I would go to school and, like, do splits on the chairs. And they'd be like, why are you doing that? Like, Van Damme's my uncle. And they're just like, all right, dude. And then, like, comes out. Like,
you're the crazy kid in
yeah,
class.
Yeah, like, I was doing splits in the playground and shit. Like, not talking to anyone. Like, and then, two years later, it came out. Obviously, he wasn't my uncle. So my friends that went to elementary with me still give me shit. Like, when I, like, if he's on TV, like, hey, there's Joe's uncle. Like,
so you're doing splits instead of playing, like, T-ball or dodgeball? And...
yeah, like, on the chairs and shit. Yeah. And, like, always, like, grew up with a big family and, like, cousins, two brothers. So we were always just fighting and, you know, putting on boxing gloves when our parents weren't there, going out on the trampoline and throwing each other around. So it was always something I was obviously into. And, you know,
people pick on you at all when you're a kid?
You know, not too much. I mean, I had an older brother and stuff.
Yeah,
and we all
a lot of shit.
Yeah, and we had cousins and shit. But so everyone just kind of picked on each other. We always just messed with each other. And then, you know, getting going in and growing up more in like high school and stuff. Yeah, you know, guys are going to give you shit because, you know, I'm a nice guy. I'm a little smaller, you know, this, that, whatever. So it was never to the point where it was bad because I don't feel like I'm a confrontational person and I can kind of brush stuff off. But, you know, guys would try to take shots at me or whatever. But, you know, I think I just had the confidence where I could just brush it off. But, you know, obviously, like, I always, like, moving forward, wanted to, like, do football or some shit. And then I realized, hey, like, I'm way too small for that.
Right.
Took up wrestling because it was like, you know, that's with weight class. I'm going to go against guys my own size. And then I just love the competition factor of it, of just it being only me. Like, I was the only one out there, you know, to blame, win or lose, and just the individuality of it and just the raw, like, competition of it. So that was my first, combat sport.
Was there a moment where someone maybe mentioned it to you, like, hey, you should think about doing some MMA, some UFC, or somebody say something like that to you, or did you get into a fight and whoop someone's ass, and
yeah,
you're like, hey, I'm pretty good at this?
I'd beat some ass quite a bit of times, and I just always watched UFC. You know, like, if I had gotten in a fight, I would normally win, you know, with the wrestling and whatever. I just liked it. But I would always watch UFC.
What a bully.
Right? No way. And I would watch UFC already because I loved it. You know, like me and my brothers actually would like rent the videos and everything. And then as far as like starting MMA, I was actually working at a t-shirt shop printing t-shirts. And a guy goes in to print some stuff for his fight and his kid that's fighting. And they said, hey, you know, you're a wrestler, right? You're like state champion or whatever. I'm just printing their t-shirts. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, well, me and my son, you know, he has a fight. He's a kickboxer. He's training. You know, he does jiu-jitsu and all that stuff. He's like, oh, I love UFC. It's so cool. And he's just like, if you ever want to come train with us and teach us some wrestling, it would be sweet. And they just literally had mats in a little rec center, started doing it there. They introduced me to another gym and where there was more people, and I just kind of started to, like, fight from there and train with more people. And, you know, at first it was my hobby, and, you know, like you guys know, you know, you obviously want to turn that hobby into, you know, your passion, into your career. So from the beginning, I was like, always like, this is what I want to do. And at that time, like, Ultimate Fighter 1 was on TV. So, you know, you automatically see people on TV and you know, like, they're rich. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those guys are making money when they weren't dead. Right. Like, yeah, for sure. They were like locked in a house, but you're like, oh, they're on TV. They're making money. That'd be so cool to make this and that. So at that point, that gave me the confidence also, you know, like, especially seeing that first Forrest Griffin and Bonner fight. I was like, this is, like, something I can really do. So I obviously wanted to turn that
fight
passion.
Was sick.
Yeah, dude. Groundbreaking. So yeah, even for me, like, it sounds cliche because everyone, like, it changed everyone for MMA, but it was just like, dude, like, that, like, I can do that because you see those guys doing that on TV and you're like, it's a real job, you know? So just always wanted to turn my passion, you know, into a job and, you know, kept fighting in New Mexico, realized I probably destined for a little more and came out to California. And I actually met Uriah Faber on a whim, trained with him. And he's like, dude, like, you need to just go pro and, like, you know, give it your only shot. It had nothing holding me back. So,
but it was kind of destiny because his flight got canceled. He didn't meet Uriah. His whole purpose, he came to Sacramento to visit friends and meet Uriah, but he didn't meet him, and his flight got canceled, so he had
then
to stay.
Then I met him the next day.
Did Uriah already have Alpha Male and all that set up at the time?
Not necessarily. He was just kind of here training. He just kind of had his capital, the gym had just started. Yeah,
yeah. He's from the area. Yeah, so
he's from Lincoln.
Yeah, close-ish. Yeah. So he just kind of was here training.
Yeah,
himself.
Well, his gym had just started. That was the other thing. Is I was coming to visit my friends, and he had just opened up Ultimate Fitness in Midtown. So it wasn't in the phone book or anything. So I was just like, oh, where can I train around here? Where can I train? I was calling people if they did MMA and if they knew where Uriah trained. Finally went to train at another place and kind of whipped up on some dudes. And they're just like, dude, we got nothing for you. Like, you should go check out Uriah. I was like, does he have a gym? Like, I've been looking for the guy to train here while I was here. So I ended up meeting
him. So you're stalking him?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. My friend had to go to work and I didn't know what else to do. And I was like I said, I was just trying to just – you know, I was trying to.
Was Uriah the champ at that time already?
He was the champ. Yeah. WEC, actually, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that was the best organization in the world for guys our weight class. So
right. You just knew you had to be around the best to be
exactly.
The best.
Exactly. Going there and train with the best guy in the world. And for him to tell me, like, hey, dude, like, you could, you know, do good at this. Like, if you can train full time and move over here, I'll help you out. We'll do what we got to do. Like, this is going to be a good home for pros in the future. And I was like, that's awesome. So to see kind of what it's flourished to and, like, be one of the first guys to actually, you know, have the confidence to move there and believe in, like, everything that's going on there and just see what it's come to now is Team Alpha Male. Now we're, like, two-time best gym in the world the last 2 years running. And
that's
it's
funny you told
awesome
him that because he told me the same thing, and I think he tells everyone the same thing.
Yeah, he told me that. Oh, I've never even punched anybody,
Sign a mic in there. You'll be perfect, man. You'll be perfect for it. Cut you down a little bit.
What is you know, some of your family and friends when you're, you know, now it's different, you know, it is your career.
Yeah.
You know, you basically made it part of your career and your lifestyle and everything, but like you know, in the beginning, you know, what did mom and dad and some of your friends and stuff think, brothers and stuff like that?
Dude, they love it, man. Like, my family's awesome. They just couldn't be more proud, you know, of like whatever I'm doing. So they're proud of me when I was really doing nothing, and we're very supportive no matter what. I wasn't doing anything, but like, they were just proud that, you know, I was like related to them and like,
right,
you know, whatever.
That's
cool. So
you're proud that you were doing something that you liked.
Yeah, exactly. So like, now, I mean, it's just huge. Like, my family's the most supportive. Like, I fly my mom. Danny knows because our moms have been to multiple fights together. We get our mom at both fights because it's just important, you know, to have them there. And my whole family loves it. You know, it's usually a family affair. Got my brothers going in for every fight. And my whole family just supports me huge in New Mexico and San Antonio. So they never – I feel like anything I would have done, you know, they would have supported me. And, you know, if anything, they're not going to support me of it. It might be, like, fighting or something. But, you know, they were already used to kind of the combat and stuff from wrestling. So my mom took it in real, you know, easy. She loved it. She loves it. Like, she sits
That's
there
cool.
and yells and screams. Like, she's, like, the only voice in the crowd I can hear besides my coach. So
That's what
crazy.
Does it for me is when you, after you're done and you get your two checks and you see the doctor and all that other stuff, you celebrate with your teammates and then you see your mom. And she's sitting there. I mean, we have small, short moms, you know, and they're just smiling, you know, have just the best smile. And that's like priceless. Like, you know, I mean, they're getting up there in pay and we've been around for a long time and signing autographs and groupie fans and all that stuff. Right. But none of that really matters at the end of the day. Like, you know, seeing your mom ultimately the happiest she's ever been because she's proud of you is just priceless. Not to get super sappy.
It's
or anything,
like proven to them that like, they got through to you, you know, and they did stuff right.
All their sacrifices
told you,
paid off.
All that stuff. So it's sweet. And then, you know, just even going down from there, you know, just with cousins and family and friends and everything. So everyone's always super supportive of me, even when I was a you know, everyone when I was a freaking deadbeat, you know, they were proud of me. So now they love it. It's great.
It's like when you win the Super Bowl and you do that parade. You know, yeah. It's kind of the same way. That week you come back from a fight, you got to see this group of friends, you got to see that group of friends, you got to drop in the gym, walk around with your chest all out, like, yeah, everyone's like high-fiving you.
That's cool.
You know, that's the best.
What was your start, Danny? How did you get started?
So the same thing happened. You're like, oh, you'll be perfect for this.
You guys knew each other for a long time.
Yeah,
though.
So I grew up from Sacramento. I'm from Sacramento. I went to high school at Laguna Creek. But in the off-season of wrestling, they had a Sacramento Area Wrestling Association, and Uriah was on the all-star team every year, so was I. And we would travel, like, up and down the California wrestling all these all-star teams. So him and I go back forever, and we were camp counselors when he went to Davis. I went to a small school in the Bay Area, Menlo College.
I didn't know you went to Menlo. Yeah. I had a bunch of friends that went to Menlo.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice campus, nice area.
Yeah, yeah. It's super expensive. It's good. I mean, people go to college to graduate and learn stuff. I went to college to wrestle just to keep it real. I mean, that's
right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm being honest. I mean.
Schools for fools.
So
yeah, so drop out of school, kids.
After college was done, you know, wrestling was done. You don't make any money. I mean, after college wrestling is done, you either wrestle in the Olympics or that's it. So, I mean, MMA has gave so many wrestlers opportunity to make money, which is awesome. I ended up getting a desk job, working sales, and I hated it.
Nerd.
I hated it. I was sitting behind the desk. Making good money, though. It was, you know, I was getting salary in the Bay Area, full 401k, dental, vision, and Uriah found me on MySpace. That's how long ago it was.
MySpace.
So we're going back.
He's like, this dude's hot.
What was your profile song?
I can't even remember. You
always switching it up?
I can't remember. Sick. Yeah, I think it had a bunch of songs that rotated.
I could see Bobby Brown, My Prerogative.
It wasn't that old, dude. It wasn't that old.
It's weird.
So after 4 years in college, I took a couple years off in between. I was working a desk job. He invited me back home to Sacramento. He's like, yeah, you got to check out the gym. I went to his gym. He was fighting on TV. He's the world champ. He's like, come to my house. He had three houses. I was like, you really got all this from fighting? Like, so early in the game? So then I was sold. I was just like, yeah, man, that's crazy. I went back home and to the Bay Area, still working. They brought a consultant, changed my salary and commission scale, blah, blah, blah. I talked to my mom, and she's just like, if you're going to do it, you got to do it. So my situation is a lot different than everyone else's, because when I started, I was 28. So I was already a little bit older than all these other guys. Like, what are you right now, Joe?
30.
So 2 years ago, you know, is when I started. So I got a late start, and I was right into it. I moved back home. I lived in my friend's couch for like – couple weeks, 6 weeks, and then finally had my first fight. Like, I trained for 6 weeks, and I was like, you're ready, you know, just take a fight. Took the fight. I won the fight. 6 weeks, I kept fighting. They kept keeping me really active, and next thing I know, I was 5-0 with 5 finishes. I mean, the game has changed, but back then, if you were a really tough wrestler, it didn't evolve that much. That wrestlers were the popular ones, the ones winning, the Matt Hughes, the GSPs. So I was already there, and then I got the call, won my fifth fight, and then 2 weeks, the UFC was coming to the UWC was coming to Sacramento. Some guy got hurt. They offered me the fight. I was at the bar at the time celebrating the win that I won the last week, and they were just like, yeah, you have to make 155. They'll sign you five.
True last call for him.
Five fight deal. So I finished the pitcher, and, you know, I went home and ran about 6 miles to try to get that weight off. And 5 days later, I fought. And, you know, I fought one of the best guys in the world right now, which was Donald Cerrone. It was just way out of my league. 8 months of training, and then I was already on the big show.
He's the cowboy, right?
Yeah, the cowboy. Already in the big show. I was fighting on TV in my hometown. Arco was sold out. So I was just kind of like, what the hell? I walk out there. I was just like, this is the craziest thing ever. I took him down, hit him a couple times, caught me in an arm bar, and then 22 fights later, you know, I've been up and down, you know, my career's been kind of crazy. I've been on the verge of breakout, then have a couple loss, then come back. So our situations are a little bit different, but it's not different because, you know, we still have the same love and passion for the sport. And, you know, we're brothers now. I mean,
that's what you guys mentioned earlier, that you feel you're one of the tightest teams in the world and you guys hang out together and do everything together. What's that like having guys that are going through the pain and the grind with you every single day?
We just meant tightest asses.
Oh. Hey now.
So what's it like to
Yeah.
I don't feel like there was a perverted joke. It went too long of being serious, so we had to throw it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I feel we're definitely have probably the best camaraderie of any team. Like, we have people traveling from all around the world to come and visit and train, and these guys come in and they feel like a team. You know, we're doing team barbecues and everyone's just always doing stuff together. Like, I couldn't imagine my life. Like, Danny's from here in California and everything in New Favor, but like, I couldn't imagine my life not knowing Danny, like, is part of my life. Like, aww. If I would have just stayed in New Mexico, or like Chad or Lance or Uriah or any of the guys, you know, like, that's my life. Like, and most of us, it's our family, because a lot of us are implants here from somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, I'm from New Mexico. We got guys from Alaska, Hawaii, Lance, who lives with me, is from Ohio. So when you come out here, these are the guys you know and spend all your time with, you know.
I mean, if you think about that, going somewhere else, like three states away, not knowing anyone, just a couple guys that you live with, and then all of a sudden Christmas comes around and you're like, fuck, I don't have enough money to go home. And you're like, what am I going to do? And then you have your buddies who you live with that, like, come on over, you know, we're going to have fun, we're going to kick it. And then that's like, we have people that pay thousands of dollars a week to train, and we get to live that life like every day. Yeah. And it's because we're so close. I just came back from Mexico on vacation, and I was just like, man, I'm going to dread it. But my first day back, I wrestled, my tan rubbed off, you know, I was in my own home, and I was just like, man, I can't really complain. Like, I've had some ups and downs, but I'm a happy dude, man. Yeah. We're really fortunate to be in this situation.
I feel that has a lot to do with our success, too, is just, like, everyone is kind of such a family and wants the best for each other that, you know, it gives you that much more of a chance succeeding when, like, this whole group of people, you know, are trying to make you succeed and care about what you're doing rather than a bunch of people competing against each other, which I feel and I've heard what a lot of teams are. You know, they're not that close. Everyone's kind of in their individual.
What happens if someone's negative or someone's just really down? You guys just pick them up or –
Probably just make fun of them.
Yeah, talk shit.
Let them know. Yeah. Oh, let's cry about losing a fight and not getting money. Like, shut up. Right? You know? Yeah. What are you talking about?
You last one fight, I got knocked down in front of my hometown.
Yeah,
title fight. Like, shut up. It's part of the game.
In front of the whole world. You lost a little fight on a small show. Get the fuck up and get in the gym and get better. I mean, that's all it is to it.
You guys have a lot of guys in the same weight class, or maybe not a lot, but you have a few. Yeah, how does that kind of go? Like, and powerlifting doesn't matter, so I don't care if someone's in the same weight class. It's not for money. It's not really my career, but
you're also not punching each other in the face.
Yeah, yeah, like maybe it helps you train, but is there some competitive stuff going on?
Well, we haven't been in a situation where a guy in the same weight class has fought.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been like talks about it, but no one's ever really fought each other.
Not in like a real fight.
I mean, if they wanted me to fight Joseph, I mean, it'd have to be like $2 million, $1 million for me to fight Joseph. I mean, there's no reason for
you hear that, Joseph.
That's it. That's all.
He can be fucking bought out like that.
Right, dude.
Just to fight his like best friend.
He just put a price on your friendship.
From fucking sobriety, and that's all it's worth is fucking $2 million. Jesus Christ!
You get what I'm saying?
All these deep porn conversations. That's all it's worth.
I wouldn't fight him for just regular money.
Yeah, but everyone's kind of going for the same belt. Yeah, at least say you're all. What's the exact weight you have to weigh in at?
25, 26.
Yeah, so everyone in the one who weighs around that is all going towards the same belt.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anyone. We don't have another 25 pounder at the UFC.
Okay. It used to be when I was at a higher weight. I had the higher weights there is. Like, when I was at 35, me and Faber were literally ranked 2 and 3 in the world.
Yeah.
And then TJ was coming up, who's the world champion now. So him and Faber,
right?
You know.
So how does that all go? Like,
crazy.
Hey, I want to make you better because we're teammates, but I want what you fucking have.
It's kind of what I said before. It's crazy that like you can see that. Like, there's other gyms where you think of people like that. One guy might just move away and say, "Hey, that's what I want." It's crazy how it works here. We're just everyone just kind of has that optimistic outlook of just like, "Hey, I'm going to help this guy as much as I can. If it comes to that, we'll cross the bridge." But right now, if both guys agree we don't want to fight each other, it's a lot easier to go into the training room and know that, hey, it's not going to happen in the long run. And if it does, you know, we'll address it. But, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just, no, it's crazy. Like, TJ will go in corner Faber, and, you know, they're going for the same belt and training in there. And, it's just crazy. But it's like what I said, everyone just kind of wants the best for each other. No one's there competitively. And, you know, if it ever did come to that point, you address it. But each time it's been addressed, it's been, hey, we're not going to fight each other. So
TJ's a champ. Uriah's a true vet, like one of the pioneers in our sport. In fact, I think that anyone from 145 pounds down owes Uriah Faber a lot of gratitude because he pretty much made that weight class with his, you know, with his curly hair and his just
handsome
like
looks.
Yeah, yeah. All chiseled, that said,
jawline.
Speaking well, like all that stuff. We have TJ Dillashaw's the champ. Uriah's third or second at 35s. We have
going
Cody,
up to 45 now. For
we have
super
Cody
fight.
No Love.
Is Cody just, the kid with the neck tat?
Yeah,
that was a good fight.
But we also have Chris Holdsworth, who won the Ultimate Fighter, and that's four guys that could fight at any given time. But I don't. I mean, like I said, it's got to be like a stupid amount of money because
can they just
anyone.
Tell the UFC no?
You can, but the UFC. I mean, it's. I'm not. That's my paycheck, so I'm not really going to say anything about the UFC. The UFC's great.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys have, you know, a leader like Uriah Faber. You know, what? Obviously, there's tons you can learn from him, you know, in the cage, and there's tons you can learn from grappling and so on and so forth. What do you guys learn from him outside the gym?
And maybe, like, business-wise.
Oh, yeah. Well, Danny, probably more so than me. Danny now has a thriving Pilates studio, best in Sacramento.
You can plug it. What's the name?
Yeah, it's P2O Hot Pilates and Fitness. It's on P and 20th, and we've been open for 2 years. I'm opening my second location in September. So the thing I took away from him is not so much the business savvy guy that he is. It's just him being so damn positive. It's just like, dude, you know, like sometimes you just want to be angry, you know, like, you know, this day sucks. Like, fuck this day. Like, fuck everyone around
sucked.
Me.
He's like, I felt fucking
good. I felt great. Like, what? You just got your ass whipped.
You got your
just
ass
like,
whipped.
I don't know about you guys. Yeah. I feel good. And it's just like, what the hell? But I think that's what you need. And there's been a couple
optimism.
Times where, you know, I've lost two fights in a row and he's just told me it's about peaks and valleys, man. I mean, you're going to come down and then you're going to come up. That's life.
It's really cool when someone has that kind of energy. Yeah. Have that positive energy, you know, all the time.
Yeah, and it's exactly like me and just like, shut up, Faber, and him just kind of like laugh at me.
Yeah.
The guy's
you're the
mentality,
one that's pissed off. Yeah. I'm happy, you know, like just insane. It's
the guy's mentality for the fight game is just perfect. Just his positivity and just
doesn't bitch about getting paid, although he probably should get paid three times the amount of he is because how much he's worth. And he's just like, that's how it is.
Yeah,
you know,
like
if anything, I'll get a bonus.
Faber. You'll never hear him complain. He's always just optimistic and positive. And you have to be. Fighting's already so fucking hard and up and down and heartbreaking that, like, all you can do is be positive, you know? You can't, like, give in and get mad at it because it's already – I mean, it's already a hard place, you know, to thrive in. So it's a lot of that for me. And when I met Uriah initially, you know, I knew he was a pretty good businessman and everything and, you know, was going to do stuff just the way he talked. But, like, when I met him, I knew I could train with him. And be good, and he was the next best guy. But I also knew I could just tell just by the way he presented himself and his attitude and everything that, like, I think I can learn a lot more from this guy, you know, besides him being the best guy in the world. And yeah, man, he's just such a good role model as far as just, you know, just his attitude, you know, and attitude's everything, you know, in the world, you know, even for his business and stuff he has, well, it's a positive attitude.
When you guys first met him, you know, I'm sure you already had a work ethic in wrestling and just, you know, you had a certain attitude going into, like, fighting. But when you guys met him and were around him more often, where you're like, holy shit, man, this is kind of like some next level shit that I need to kind of get on board with myself. I need to work just as hard as he's working if I want to. Or you guys just kind of had that work ethic from day one?
Well, I mean, I've known him since we were 13, 14.
Oh, okay.
Years
old. You've known him
so
for a long time.
We'd be in buses for, I mean, vans for 8 hours at a time. So it's not like Uriah Faber, the California kid. It's just like, well, just Faber, you know? He's not anything. Like, he's not a god like he is to some of these other people.
Right.
But further down the line and just seeing all the stuff he has his hands and. In movies, he believe it or not, he has hands in movies. He has his hands in music, clothing line, just everything.
Soccer and here in Sacramento too.
I think
dude, who knows
what with him.
Everything.
The thing that I took away the most is not to be afraid of anything.
Yeah,
like I mean, granted, I don't have the same amount of money he has. So if I were to go into a business deal, I got to make sure that it's going to be a little bit better than someone who has a ton of money like him. But it's like, I mean, you can't be afraid to. You can't be afraid to lose or to take a step down or, you know, because that's the only way. I mean, scared money doesn't get money, you know. So you just got to – and that's one thing that I
think it's a rap song.
Probably.
Sound like it.
you just kind of got to go with it. And if he's so positive that everything's going to work out. So, like, me, I was getting into this exercise equipment thing with some other guys, like, thinking about it. And just in the back of my head, I was just like, fuck, if I put $20,000 into this company, it doesn't work. That's 20 G's, like, you know, that I could have sitting in an IRA and just doubling money.
Yeah.
So then already I'm already beat. So I'm not confident about it. You're right. I'd be like, oh, yeah, we're going to be the biggest company in the world. And he said that. He said that. It was just three of us, Joseph, Uriah, and I. And he's like, we're going to be the best team in the world. And I'm looking around like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? It's three of us. We're all different weight classes. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. 5 years later, two times in a row, best team in the world. Clothing line. He's like, yeah, this clothing line's going to be sick. His Form clothing line, one of the clothing line, one, you know, best urban clothing line or whatever. It's doing well. He sold one clothing line to K-Swiss, and it's just like.
Wasn't he in a commercial with Kenny Powers?
Yeah.
That's the best commercial ever.
He was also in the video for Pharrell's song, Happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Him and his sister. His sister got in a crazy car accident when she was on the verge of, you know, losing her life. And, you know, he was in the hospital praying and being positive. And she just got married, full recovery. It's just like everything he does is, you know, there's a reason why his hair is like that. Like the sunshine is like beaming on him all the time. He's just a California kid, man. He's just a happy dude.
You guys have any good poop stories for us? We like to talk a lot about poop.
You ever
here on
shit
the
yourself or you're wrestling somebody or something?
Is that what you texted me the other day?
Yeah.
Night poop or poop?
Yeah, poop stories. I meant to say,
I
said something
else. You
said
night poop?
I said night poops or something.
Something about poop, but night poop stories or something. And I was like, I was waiting for him to come back and be like, oh, I meant fight stories when you were a kid or something, like something, you know, civil.
Yeah.
No, we want a good juicy poop
story.
But
he really meant that. I was like, what the hell are you
talking
about?
That's what the fans want.
Correcting it would mean that he actually read it again after he sent it to you, which is not going to happen.
I was just like, I even wrote back. After like 10 minutes.
That's pretty true.
He didn't put anything, so I was just like, I'm not sure what poop story means. All right.
You're the worst.
Weirdo.
You're the worst sponsor ever.
All right, weird guy. But
if I'm going to sponsor you, you're going to give good poop stories.
Now that I know.
I don't have one. I got one, I guess. It's not that crazy, but there was a time when we were in the Ultimate Fighter and we were taking.
It's more other guys pooping.
Taking pictures.
That's still a poop story.
Yeah.
Taking pictures of poop and we would send them in a mass text.
Oh, like, God.
Like, here, nice. This is like, it would be in the shape of a J. I send it to Joseph. Like, look, this turd looks like a J. It's
the turd I laid for you.
Thinking of you, you know.
When you're really in there with your hands molding it into a J.
I use the plunger. I use the plunger to do that.
I spelled out Danny's name in cursive once in the toilet.
That's talent.
I was going to send him a picture.
No gloves.
That's money in the bank.
Send him a picture of a poop. And I actually sent it to a girl. I was So long story short, I haven't talked to her ever since. Mm. And, you know, she'd never text me back.
She's terrified.
You were engaged.
No. But
that's amazing.
That's pretty funny. I do
that
a
lot. That is funny.
I gotta
yeah, whoops.
I'm like I said, I just whatever and send. Oh. And sometimes you're in the wrong conversation. You're sending something to other people. You're just like, oops.
How great would that have been if she would have just been out? Ooh, I'd love that on my chest.
Or if she sent one back.
Yeah, you'd be like, whoa.
I would put a ring on it right away.
She'd be like, is that for me? Save one for me. Oh, God. I guess my poop story is kind of similar. That's what I thought you were going to go with, is we had a coach, Master Tong, who you could have a whole podcast on.
Master Dong?
Master Tong.
You got
the
other poop
sicko.
Stories when you're living in the box. And you're just...
Oh, fuck. That's a good one.
Dude, we can have two. Bring them on.
Yeah. Well, this one with Master Tong is, for one, the guy's the grossest individual ever. Like, he's a fucking Thai, you know, freaking immigrant. Like,
right.
But he's a terrible
but
person.
He lived in the hills. And
he's grungy.
Like, he's a gross person. Like, one time...
is he not your coach anymore?
No. But even if he was, he's just a terrible, gross person inside and out. Right? So the guy, to show how gross the guy is, I mean, like, this is not the poop, but, like, the guy went... we were at a lake one time, and he's literally running around trying to kill a duck. Like, a freaking duck with a slingshot. Just chasing it up a hill. The thing's barely walking. At this point, it's just torture because he caught it. And instead of, like, you know, just killing it, he's twisting its neck all the way around.
Jesus.
And he had a...
Was he going to eat it? What was he doing?
He had a cutting board, and he was trying to crush the skull. He put the duck in a bag and started slapping it against the wall.
We were in the houseboat. Everyone went to the back of the boat, to the front of the boat, because they were just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. He's trying
please
to...
Stop!
He has a duck in a bag just slamming it against the deck. like as hard as you can. He gets it out. The duck's still moving. He's spinning it around. And all this he did with the slingshot, making us like drive him from place to place up a hill. And to show how gross he is, he took all the feathers out of the duck and put it on the grill.
And then, this is just like a domestic duck that probably ate cigarette butts.
The next day we had to take him home because he was throwing up.
He ate it
all day. He ate the duck.
It smelled terrible. Sick. It was like the meat was black, and he ate it.
So this guy is that gross, and all of us are showing each other poop pictures. We show one to him, and he throws up. He's just like, so after that, we're like, oh, this is great. Master Tong can't take poop pics. So he's like, oh, Master Tong, what's this? And he would, and he would just run out. And we had to stop the car before for him to throw up just because we're showing him poop pictures. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's a good poop story.
That was a good poop story.
Master Tong. Yeah. I've got pictures of him.
He's a degenerate.
How about the Keystone box?
Oh, God. Back in my prime as a low-life scumbag. Our toilet wouldn't work, and me and all my buddies were just shit in a box. We just shit in a Keystone light box, and it was just there.
You didn't think about going outside or something? Dig a hole?
The box was outside.
In a hole.
Yeah. We would just all go and shit in a Keystone box. Like, it was just behind the house, and we just
Alpha Male, the closest team on the planet.
Yeah, we just shit. Oh, no, these guys weren't the Alpha Male. We were all just degenerates.
I've never shit in a box.
We were all just degenerates.
You can get there.
I mean,
stay positive.
It's not too late, dude.
You can get there.
Wow.
That was just when we were all degenerate lowlifes in New Mexico, shitting in Keystone light boxes.
That's awesome.
That's a reason I don't drink now, 10 years.
That's the life.
A whole decade sober.
Yeah.
Just because you were shitting in a box.
Shifting gears here for a second. What's it like? What's it like to lose?
It's like pretty much the lowest low you can like handle because, fuck man, you just put so much into it. You know, you don't think about it. You don't think of fucking like that. That's a possibility because you're training to do one thing, and then when the total opposite happens. You know, it's crazy. It's just like, it just hits you with that, like, button hook. You're just like, what? That's like.
Well, it's all on you, pretty much. I mean, you know, like, with football, you can blame your shitty quarterback. Or you can blame this guy or that guy and say, the whole
team. Marino, Ray Finkel. Yeah. Fucking Ray Finkel.
Finkel's Einhorn. Right? You can blame other players and stuff, but in this instance, it does fall on you.
I mean, I mean, this is like, touches home for me because I'm coming off of two losses. So this next fight's really important to me. It's just like, the fans only remember your last fight. So you're as good as your last fight. Being that I've lost two fights, like I'm not sitting in a good position. And being in the competitive weight, like the lightweight division, like, you know, this is a really big fight for me because, you know, there's cutting blocks. There's people who are trying to get in, you know. Yeah. And so with that being said, like it's tough because Amadeo puts that many hours into me. So, you know, I'm disappointed in myself, and then, you know, I go out there and see him. He's like, oh, man, it's all right. Don't worry about it. But fuck, man, like, I know how much energy he's put into me. Not only him, but I got boxing coaches, strength coaches, even the masseuse. Like, oh, how'd your fight go? Like, oh, I fucking lost. She's like, oh, well, we'll get him next time.
Well, even just people you might see in the street. I mean, people know you guys. You guys are professional fighters. You know, people say, oh, how'd it go? You know, and you guys.
That's another. That's an uncomfortable thing, too. Like, oh, hey, what's up, man? Saw your last fight. And you're just like, and it's an uncomfortable silence. And, like, it's not uncomfortable for me because I got paid. I mean, it sucks that I lost. I mean, I still got thousands of dollars, probably more than a teacher made the whole year, which is kind of fucked up because I think teachers should make a lot more money than they do. But it's like, not only me, but to see your friend lose. Like, it's just as hard as seeing like Joseph lose or Uriah lose as it is to me because there's so much invested. Like, you don't do MMA. Yeah. You don't play MMA. It's like, you live that shit. And it's like, every day when I'm in fight camp, there's that face, there's that name, and there's two checks behind it. Like, I got to win. So you're thinking about this guy the whole time, and, you know, your whole life is revolved around one person, one fight for 8 weeks, and then, you know, you win that fight, you're like, fuck yeah. You lose that fight, and you're just like, can you kind of go into a little depression? For me, you know, I can only speak for myself. I kind of go into a little depression for a week. You kind of don't want to see anyone. Not that you had a horrible performance, but you're just kind of a little bit embarrassed, and you don't want to, you know, that's just as real as I can put it to anyone, you know, who doesn't know what it feels like.
Right.
sucks. Terrible.
So on the flip side, how long do you feel good after a win before you start to feel kind of hungry again?
Either till you feel fat because you've been eating like a baller the whole time, or you get that next fight.
Yeah.
You know, and then I feel like I'm a better human being when I'm in fight camp.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm on schedule, and I really believe in karma. So, like, I want to live the best life possible in that 8 weeks and not do anything to fuck up my karma going to the fight. Like, I don't, you know, believe in luck or any of that other stuff because anything can happen.
Right.
But, you know.
You're starting to tip your waitress a little bit more.
A little bit more. Yeah, and yeah. say, an extra five, you know. Just, like, try to do the good things.
Didn't you give a $100 tip to a single mother waitress?
Yeah.
On a...
It was Christmas, It was Christmas, and she didn't have Christmas with her kids in the morning. I was like, that's got to be a horrible feeling not to wake up to your mom or your kids on Christmas. So I gave her a hundy for a tip.
There you go. What's it like to have a little bit of money now? Because you guys were talking about being broke and being pieces of shit in the past.
I mean, it's good. I mean, life is... When you don't have to worry about gas or cell phone bills or anything like that, life is not as hard as it seems.
It's the funny shit. It's like the little things. Like, I used to go and fucking be like, oh, shit, I'm like scrounging up change to just put gas in.
And you're like, bam, found $5 in my pocket, bitch.
Yeah.
Premium.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like checking your debit card before you fucking went to Wendy's or whatever. Like, oh, yeah, I can get the meal. Oh, I have to get a 99-cent menu or whatever. Like, just little shit like that. Like, I don't even, like, people ask me what gas prices are, and I'm just like, I don't fucking know. I just have to go and fill the damn car up.
And filling up your tank is electric.
Like, filling up. Like, I would never filled up my tank before.
They drop tens on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it costs like $100 or something to fill up, you know, if you have a big car.
So, yeah, it's little shit like that, but I mean, for me, it's awesome. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not, like, I don't know. It's weird because... I'm not all that, like, driven by money and stuff. I love, like, my quality of life, and I think it's great, and I've met some great people, and I couldn't imagine my life.
But it didn't matter to you much before. It doesn't matter to you
much. It wasn't huge. It's crazy. I mean, everyone wants money, and you want to do stuff, and you want to live a good life, but it's crazy. Like, I was never one of those guys, like, I just need to be fucking rich. Like, obviously, I want to be successful and get money. I want to make people proud and take care of the people around me. But the actual, like, money part of it was never just, like, a crazy thing. I just wanted to be happy and live a good life, and that's going to make you happier. I'm doing what I love, where I like to think, hey, even if I didn't make as much money, I would love it just the same.
It brings a lot of balance,
Because of what I'm doing, you know. But other than that, it's just great not to worry about it. Like, things for me that mean the most to me is, like, taking care of my family and my mom, just being able to pay some bills for her, fly her to places she hasn't been before, you know, buy her a nice dinner when we are in Vegas and – where she can't believe it. Like, oh, my God, I'm eating, you know, a $30 steak. I'm just like, Or, you know, but it's like.
Yeah, go for it, Mom.
Cool. Yeah, eat an $80. Get the $100 one, You know, like, stuff like that, and just seeing her and have new experiences. And just being able to have that security to like, help people, you know, when they do need it. You know, if someone from my family or anyone I can help. So, you know, other than that, it's the other things in life that, you know, make it good, you know, just trying to be smart with the money. Like, I have two houses, I have one in here and one in Vegas, and, like, getting married, you know, it's just nice to know, like, there's not as much worries, you know what I mean? Like, that's the main thing to me is just, like, yeah, I can get married. Oh, we can do this. We can get what we want at the wedding. I can have a reliable car. You know, I can have a nice place to live. Oh, I can fucking go eat out every day.
So, Joseph's got... I don't know, probably 4 more bonuses. It's like $50,000 a piece more than I do. So we're a little bit different scales, but the same thing. And now that I have the Pilates studios that come in, the supplemental income, that's what I'm really trying to work for, because I'm getting towards the end of my career. I'm getting older and older, and knowing and having that kind of safety net, like, well, I got money coming in no matter if I'm fighting.
Yeah, what's
or not.
Next kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes me feel good. But on the flip side, the same thing what people don't know at home is every January 1st is a bitch, because we get paid like contract workers. So if you don't budget your money, let's say you make 40 and 40 at the end of the year. I mean, you fight 3 times, you're looking at $300,000 with no taxes paid on that.
Right.
So that's like the part where you're just like, well, what the hell am I going to do now? You're trying to find every single write-off you can. Oh, yeah, there's that one time I paid for parking in San Francisco. Like, trying to add up all these numbers so you're not giving the government a ton of money. And
my dad does taxes, by the way.
He does
there
some,
you go.
Some what? Big names out there, too. We'll mention off-air. That yeah, he could probably help you guys out. He's a genius.
If you ever need it.
Yeah, genius. Well,
he's there.
You know, I got an extension right now, so.
what about my what about my guy Tag? Is he over at Ultimate Fitness? Jeremy?
Yeah, Tag, he's got he's doing other businesses while. Now.
Tag is the guy I learned to lift weights from in high school.
No way.
Me and Tag had the same trainer. He
legendary.
He played football at the time.
Yeah, Tag's a man.
He's a beast. I held a bag from I've never fought anything in my life. I'm a pussy, but he was just getting into fighting, and I held the bag for him. He was like dropping knees or something, like putting me through the fucking wall. At that time, I don't know what he is now, but then he was probably like 245 pounds. And just fucking whooping my ass around this aerobic room. Yeah, he's nuts. Yeah, he's bald, big old fucking beard.
He just has that look. You just
oh, he's an ass kicker. Yeah,
he's a sick fuck.
Yeah, he was a freak. He played at Louisville.
Yeah, I think he was a linebacker.
Yeah, won two rings there, and then
played in the league for a little bit.
I think he retired.
I think so.
He retired last year, and now he's got a business on the side, and he's got a fiance and a son. And
that's great. I probably haven't seen him in like. 10 years.
Well,
you'd
recognize him if you
looks
see him.
He looks the same. Yeah, that's great. He's the same. Yeah, I drove him to some little fighting place like way before Ultimate. He needed a ride, and he like hopped in my 79 Mercedes piece of shit car. I drove him to some place. You're kind of familiar. Somewhere in Carmichael. I don't know what it was. And he just started fighting. He's like, "Fuck, I'm strong. I'm big. Here I go."
Yeah. And he got in the game when it was way back then, where they weren't getting paid anything. And like you said, like when I go to a fight. I got not an entourage, but I got my coaches, all my buddies with them.
Yeah. You got just a fucking bus taking you over there?
Yeah, yeah. You just like lined up here, you know, here's some meal money just in case you get hungry on the way. And he just jumped in your car, like, yeah, take me to the fight. Like, it's crazy the way it's changed so much. Like, even the small shows, like, now they're not even getting paid.
Yeah.
They're fighting for ticket sales.
That's what,
which is insane. Yeah. No think, money at all.
Keith Jardine was telling us a little bit about that, how the pay is a little rougher now.
If you don't, I mean, because there's so many people that want to do it.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm, you guys get the same thing. I mean, with each social media, like they see your social media, oh, I'm going to be the next Mark Bell. And I'm going to do all this at Jacked and Tan. Like, no, you're not, motherfucker. Yeah. Like, you just got an Instagram account. You're a fucking little bitch. You never put in a day.
Why are you talking to Joseph like that? Just because he got his Instagram. Just because he got his Instagram a couple weeks ago.
You hurt his feelings.
But, I mean, that's just how it is in any sport with anything you do in life.
What do you guys feel about social media? How important is it to you? You know, you have the income coming in from UFC, but you pretty much get paid for the fight only. Is that correct?
Fighting sponsors.
Fighting sponsors, yeah. Right, win sponsors.
So you then, need something afterwards, and the more popularity you have through social media, you guys think that helps? And
yeah,
I think it does, man.
I think you want to monetize all the shit that the UFC gives. Every time the UFC tweets your name or does anything, you're going to see a ton of followers. Or they put a highlight of one of your old fights. You're going to see like 50. It's crazy. Yeah. Paige VanZant, she's one of the girls on her team. We have eight fighters in the UFC and one girl.
Maybe more.
And she's just 115 pounds, pretty blonde, real blonde. Like just, she got one fight in the UFC. She had, I think, 2,000 followers. She shot up to 80,000. She had another.
She fought on Fight
We got a fight in the UFC, Mike.
She didn't even fight on TV.
She has more followers than you? How do you feel about that?
Dude, huge.
She just had another fight. She had another fight on national TV. I think it was Fox Sports 1. It was two girls. I mean, what they were wearing, their butts were in the air. Like, their legs were open. Boom, the next day, 80,000 followers. So she's probably at 200,000 right now.
Right.
And for her, with that, what she needs to do, I mean, I'm not going to tell her what to do with her, but she needs to come up with a Paige VanZant shirt or
something
and start monetizing that, because you're not, I mean, the window's that small. And like we were talking about it earlier, like, you may only have three fights.
Yeah.
So you got to really get on that social media. I mean, it helps, but at the same time, it's, you know, you get those guys, you get those trolls, and you got to listen to everything and tell them about
how negative it gets.
Yeah, anyone can tell you anything, and you know.
And that's what sucks, because back in the day, like 15, 20 years ago, no one would say that shit to you. You would never hear it, because if you said it, then that means you'd have to get your ass whipped.
Yeah, you'd have to tell Chuck Liddell to his face.
Yeah, you Chuck Liddell, you're a little bitch.
That means you have to be a real fucking person.
Yeah,
actually, yeah.
So that's the kind of thing I don't like about it, but it's entertaining. I love it. The memes, like, I like following you guys, watching the things that you guys are doing, and it just keeps me in the world. When I'm so busy doing other shit, you jump on the gram before you go to bed, or when you're taking a shit, and you're just going to scroll down.
It's a fucking way of life, dude.
And see what's going on. And I've tried to do it, like, I'm not going to touch it for a week.
Yeah.
But it's just like, damn, what did I do
before this? Or like for this lunch and shit, but you look at lunch and Everyone's on their phone.
You got to post your lunch.
But
people want to see it.
Exactly. But that's how the conversation leads to at lunch. You're on your phone. Everyone's on it until, oh, did you guys see this shit?
No,
how
let me see this. That. Dude, you see what she was wearing?
You're like, ooh,
check this out.
Yeah. And like business-wise, it's fucking free advertising. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're out there getting to advertise yourself to people that are already interested in you and what you have to say. So I think it's cool. And then, you know, as far as fans and everything go, just having them be able to relate to you.
There's an outlet.
Talk back to them. Let you know what you're interested in, because a lot of fighters, a lot of fans just go see this fucking guy in the cage. They never heard him talk, what he thinks, what he likes, what he does. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's all they see. So,
Joseph has a crazy taste in music, so he'll post like a record album and people will go nuts. Like, Joe, that's why you're my favorite fan. You're my favorite fighter because
you
listen to Led Zeppelin. Like, oh my God, I love you, man. We're perfect. We're the same dude. Yeah. And actually,
we're
not
perfect for each other.
We need to get together.
We listen to the same Led Zeppelin song. That's about it. But I mean, to them,
right.
You eat the same breakfast? Is it something that AM be like, oh my God, we ate the same breakfast. I'm going to go hit some fucking sumo deads right now. You know, but
it's great to give people a chance to see more than just the fucking dude fighting in the cage. You know,
people want to identify with you somehow. They want to find that
exactly. Yeah.
Like that fighter has that little ass dog. That tough guy has that little dog.
Yeah. I have a little ass dog too. I'm not gay. Nice. Yeah, stuff like that, you know?
Because they needed that validation. They needed it from
you. Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, I say that as in, like, whatever, you know, people use as gay now, not necessarily homosexual.
We've already checked our back 100 times. Yeah, people hate us.
You know what I mean?
It's a vocabulary. It doesn't mean that. No.
Yeah.
So what do you guys like to do outside of fighting?
Yeah, like Danny, you mentioned like you have a little couple weeks before you really get into
porn.
Besides porn.
Yeah. Besides tranny porn or granny porn?
Yeah, besides any form of porn.
The TNG
granny porn.
That would be way too weird.
That would be sick.
There's an investment.
Can we see if tranny granny? Can we pull that up right now? Is there anything? Granny tranny?
There's not many tranny
don't.
Walking around.
Okay, you got to go to the
last thing you Google.
Do that. So
yeah, last thing you Google. Whip out your phone, guys.
Last thing you Google.
Last thing you Google. What'd you Google?
For me, fun is it's.
Oh, what do we Google?
Yeah, check your phone.
Hey, you gotta get it.
The life that I.
Oh yeah, they exist.
Play the game. What's the last thing you Googled?
My battery's dead.
Oh, busted.
I'm safe for this one.
Look at that! Look at that!
Here we go.
Mine's probably some dumb shit. well, this isn't fun because it's fucking. I had to call a place to make shirts, so it's just Cotton Shop.
God,
but let me
damn.
Look at some history.
That's not that. Oh.
History's what it's
what's
all
up, Colin?
About.
Yeah. Yeah,
what's
your history
videos?
Tell us.
It's a thing.
They exist. I'm not going to
funny enough, fucking, I was Googling Boogie Night images for some fucking reason.
Oh, hey now.
Duran Duran lyrics. Outkast lyrics.
You like to rap
Outkast.
Along with
Godfather
what's going on?
Theme song. Fucking bunch of crazy shit.
You're off the team.
Yeah. That's about it.
No,
yeah.
Skip over there.
I was like, wait, something cool's going to come up. I got fucking Nirvana fucking YouTube.
I heard there's a good documentary on Kurt Cobain. I haven't seen it yet.
That's why I'm fucking Googling Nirvana.
Oh, yeah, check that
out. I saw part of it. It's good.
It's really good. It's super like artsy and it's like very, very intimate is in the way where it's not someone just talking about Kurt Cobain in like random interviews that everyone in the world was going to see anyway.
Yeah.
It's home footage and it's literally entries from his diary. So it's just very, very intimate.
Oh, getting his head cool. A little bit.
Audio recordings
it's fucking,
that he did.
It's eerie, man. Yeah, audio recordings. Like, if they do have audio recordings, they'll, like, make, like, a... It's kind of cool and artsy and just very different in a way where, like, they'll make, like, an animated fucking Kurt Cobain and, like, have his voiceover stuff of him
and
talking.
His signature or his written language, like, on the screen. Yeah.
It's just so cool seeing his entries. Like, just the smallest word or two words... can just be deep because like that's what he was feeling and he wrote at the time. So I thought that was cool. It was very intimate. The montage, it's called Montage of Heck, which he made a mixtape like that. But so the montages kind of go with it because the theme or the title, but there's some crazy montages too in there that are cool and like make
he
it
likes
super
movies,
artsy.
Man.
I do.
He's just got
what's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie?
Maybe top three or something like that.
Taxi Driver?
Taxi Driver's up there. I love De Niro, so I really – Raging Bull is probably maybe my favorite.
Raging Bull is pretty awesome.
Raging Bull is just sick. I love it.
I haven't seen it.
I saw it in
the theater.
That's the worst.
Did you see it in the theater?
Yeah,
back
when
in the day?
It first came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
1980. That's a good fight film, you know?
Yeah. It is really good, cool. But it's really, I mean, it's cool too because you can almost look at it, it relates to so much more like life. It's just a man going up, down, you know, and, and then just trying to find himself. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like some people don't even think about like when you think of boxing movies, like some people don't think like Raging Bull. And like if someone asks like Raging Bull or Rocky, it's just kind of like, I don't feel like it's really a boxing movie almost. You know, it's almost more life. But speaking of that, Rocky 1, so also a boxing movie, one of my favorite movies. Because it's, again, it transcends, like, it's not just boxing. It's like life, you know, the ultimate loser, underdog ever. Taxi Driver's up there. Boogie Nights is actually probably like my third or fourth favorite movie. And then you got the normal Godfather.
Dude, it's going to change your life.
I know. I
got
to go see Raging Bull and Boogie Nights now.
Modern day, I like Boogie Nights. There Will Be Blood. Yeah. It's another one that I really love. I thought that
was Paul Thomas Anderson.
Another Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah. He's like my favorite director.
Have you ever listened to the DVD commentary on Boogie Nights with Paul Thomas Anderson?
It's probably no special features.
I don't have the DVD. I have just have it electronically.
VHS.
No, I have. Oh, that would be sick.
It's probably the best DVD commentary ever.
He's a genius. Ever. Yeah. Yeah. You got to watch Boogie Nights, dude.
I'll go right now.
Yeah, it's probably my third favorite. The only obscure movie that I like that most people probably won't know about that's probably like in my top five is it's a movie called The King of Comedy, and it's also Robert De Niro, and Scorsese.
And
that's a genius. What's Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. That movie's sick, and it's like...
I'll have to check it out.
It's like cool. It's like a freaking lighthearted, more so like Taxi Driver. You know Taxi Driver's this crazy like outcast sociopath? Like it's like him with like... kind of charming and like his like fucking weird charming brother. It's fucking trippy. Yeah. It's good. But anyway, I'll go all day.
We got time for maybe one or two more one or two more questions. What do you guys think about Reebok's involvement? That's kind of shaking things up a little bit. What do you guys think about that?
I'm happy about it, but that's only because I got 22 fights.
Yeah.
So I hit the top tier in the sponsorship money. And
right.
For the
they're paying like more money for people to have more fights, correct?
So the way it breaks down is there's a certain amount. You 1 through 5 fights, you get the certain amount of pay. 6 through 12, you get a certain amount of pay. 12 through 20, you get the certain amount of pay. And then 21 and up is when you get the highest amount of money. Unless you're a champ. The champ gets a certain amount of money and the contenders get a certain amount of money. So
the contender meaning fighting the guy for the title only in that fight.
So when I heard this, I was just like, great, now I'm just gonna lose out on money. But in actuality I fall under the highest paid sponsor.
Right. And it doesn't eliminate other sponsor potential either, right?
No, not at all. And so what that's cool for me is I was dealing with these managers. I mean, that's another aspect that probably the listeners don't know is you got to pay your manager 10% of your fight, which they do nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to pay a middleman to negotiate some of these deals outside of, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Sponsorship and so on.
10% of that fight. So you win and if you lose and win, you go 10% of that check goes to them. And then 20% of the sponsorship money that they bring in goes to you. I was having managers who weren't really giving me that much money. I mean, enough for me to cover, you know, their fees for the fight checks and the sponsorship checks. So I was just like, man, this sucks. And then I found out that.
So Reebok kind of handles it now.
Yeah. So not only that, I mean, there's a couple times where I've had sponsors. I fought twice before I even got the money from 3 fights ago. Mm. So, you know, I leave it up to my manager. It's like, what's up, dude? You're going to let them. It's in what you booked them under a net. 60 and I mean what is this like I don't 6 months I gotta wait for my money but you get paid right away. So with that eliminates that problems because Reebok said that you'll get your money within 10 to 12 days. So that's another thing I'm just like, wow, I never even experienced anything like that ever as a professional. But this fight I just signed, I'll be fighting July 25th. The matchmaker directly just emailed me. He's like, hey, are you being represented by anyone? I'm like, no. And then, you know, an hour later, he sent me the fight date, the fight card, and who I'm fighting. And then I replied, okay, and that was it. So normally, I mean,
paying someone 10% to email you some shit.
10%. I mean, you're looking at $7,000 he would have got just for
that email it to you and say, hey, can you get this back?
You need a manager? I'll do that.
Well, I mean, now I don't need a manager, and it's a good thing for people who make a whole lot of more money than I do, who are just, you know, huge popular, I mean, have a big fan following, and they only had 3 fights. Like, that sucks for them, but for someone like me who's been putting in work for a long time, who doesn't have that big name and is not in the top 10, I mean, it works out justifiably, I think, in my opinion, because I've been working so hard for 8 years for this company. 21 fights is unheard of, and I've been doing it, so that's kind of a little pat on the back for me. Like, fuck, yeah, I mean,
it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, they really care about their fighters a little bit.
When we talked earlier, you two mentioned, like, oh, well, every other sport has a rookie minimum and a rookie maximum and a vet minimum. I mean, it kind of makes sense that it's kind of
put out that way. You know, for us, you're talking to two guys that are happy with the deal. There's other guys out there that aren't. But I think it's cool they supported the they went with the longevity aspect of it, because, like you said, most sports will do that. You know, the guys that have, you know, gone 12 years in the NFL, they have more retirement, you know, retirement and everything too. So, yes, it's not retirement, but, yeah, we're getting paid more because we've been there longer. So the guys just coming in, hey, you have to start here. You know what I mean? Like, right now, guys are pretty much getting sponsors by popularity,
right?
Which is cool, and who they know and everything like that. So it's kind of cool they did it with longevity, because that's kind of like other sports. But you're talking to guys that are
Two OGs. We've been with Zuffa for
OGs
6 years. I mean, that's
so
a
we're
long
happy
time.
With it. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of guys out there that are losing money. But
but not everybody can be happy with everything.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, moving forward, I think it's the right move for the sport, and just to legitimize it, you know, even more so. So at the end of the day, like, if we would have started like this at the very beginning, if the UFC started, just like, you know, anything else, had just started and this was the sponsor, like,
with
like,
no manager,
you know, that'd be cool. You know, that'd be all you know. Yeah, so I think it's cool. You know, there's obviously a lot
That's
of guys
a weird side of the sport. Like, you may not quote unquote need a manager, but you kind of need a manager because you don't
For
have that.
Things,
you don't want to deal with all that fucking bullshit. You want to fight. You want to concentrate on all the things that you have to do to prepare for that fight.
And if you have a hungry go-getter manager, he could probably talk to Joe Silva, the matchmaker. Like, well, how about this fight? This fight seems a little bit better for the fans, a fan favorite, and he could get you out of a tough fight and get you a possibly an easy fight.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's the UFC who decides everything.
Right.
So I don't care how they cute you are or how charming you are, you're not going to – if they want something, they're going to get it.
Yeah,
and
they pretty much send you it. Yeah, say, hey, you're fighting this guy, and you say yeah or no. And the cool thing with this is you can still have sponsors outside of, you know, of Reebok. It's just not fight week or – you know, for the fight, obviously, but you can still represent stuff like we were talking about on social media, which is huge, you know. And this is another thing I feel some people don't get is everyone wants to do this and that, but I feel there's more of an impact almost on social media.
Yes, your daily life
stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you're already going to get stuff out to relate to you. So it's just going to make different sponsors and different managers and stuff kind of step up as like, all right, do we really going to represent these guys? And for the manager, like, hey, are we really going to go out and find some stuff? Or are we just going to give up and say, hey, there's no more sponsors. They all are going to get Reebok. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, I mean, I think it's, like I said, it's just the right thing, like, moving forward.
You guys have anything you want to plug on your way out here? Why don't you just tell us where your Instagram and Twitters are and shit like that?
I don't want to leave if that's a thing.
No, you got to get out.
Can we see what
hey, training floor before? You know, I got some bad news for you guys. This isn't really a casting couch episode of the PowerCast. I apologize.
I was chubbing myself up down here after this thing.
Oh, you guys may not be aware of this, but I try to relay this message to all. The internet is for more than just pornography.
There's other things going on.
Yeah, you can do other stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
There's like email. Yeah, there's other things. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Check it out. Just look it up. Yeah, there's a thing called Google.
Isn't
can search for stuff. Yeah.
When you like, when you're sitting there talking with friends about like who did this, and who did that, or what was that one person, and you're just like, why the fuck are we talking about it?
Google
that shit. Boom. Why speculate?
I think it changed everything. Like the girls and everything. I think having access to being able to look at porn anytime you want, even for girls, is desensitized women, so they're more open to do.
So
younger girls are a lot crazier than the older girls, and that's exciting.
Hey, that's good for everybody.
For
that's
a dirty exciting. Old man like Castillo.
Yeah, yeah.
Those of you who are listening, just listening, Danny's smile was worth about $1 million.
Thanks for having me. I had a great time lifting, not only lifting, but eating that food and bullshitting with you guys. You guys are great, and thanks for having us. And my Instagram is lastcall155, same thing with Twitter. I have a Hot Pilates studio, so if you're local, we're in P and 20th, and we got a lot of good things going
That's
there.
That's downtown Sacramento, California.
How hot is it?
It's we're not 108, we're 95, but there's a little bit of humidity.
But a lot of yoga pants.
Is it moist?
So we're 94% female.
Moist is a nice word.
Wow. Hey now.
Our listeners are like 94% guys, so yep. We're about to switch a ratio around.
Yeah. I'm seeing a bunch of influx of just dudes. Gross dudes. Here for the trial, just 7 days, right? Here.
Are you the main trainer over there?
Well, I run the kettlebell class.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So we have kettlebells, TRX. We have booty bar, bikini butt class.
Hey Mike. Now.
Mike?
Yeah. I'm ready.
Huh?
Yeah. I'm ready.
So so it's kind of cool. I mean,
that's awesome.
I enjoy it. I'm really trying to, you know, trying to get more guys in there only because the money sense.
Right.
But I mean, right now I go in the gym and it's just 94% female
right.
who are in shape.
Sucks.
It sounds yeah. so disgusting.
Yeah. I hate Lululemon.
Yeah.
Yeah. They ruined right. your whole business.
But that's it, man. The team, again, if you're in Sacramento or you're anywhere on the world and you like MMA, definitely follow our team. And, you know, we're the best, one of the best.
Yeah, go in their gym and get their ass, get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. This is awesome. Just awesome that I met you guys. Thanks for supporting me, Mark. You know, with the slingshot, I'll be repping at UFC 187. First time in the gym. Sure, first of many. And, you know, obviously try out the slingshot product. I know that's why you guys are here anyway. You know, and the protein was awesome and everything. So I just want to thank you guys for having me and representing me and having the faith and the support, man. It's good
Not
stuff.
A problem. We're behind you guys all the way. And good luck yeah. in your next fight and everything. So
the protein through the meat straw? Or
what huh? straw? Wait, what?
What?
Meat straw?
Meat straw. Meat day.
I didn't tell him to suck on the meat straw. That was kind of our yeah. That was okay. Yeah.
How's your guys'
Danny, that yeah. Damn. We'll talk about it more later. Anyway, I think that's it. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle, may all your shits be tapered, and that's it for me. Bitches.
You can find him at Mark Smelly Bell. I'll plug him for you guys. What's your Instagram,
Joseph? Oh, Instagram at Jiu-Jitsu, same as Twitter.
There you go. Check it out, guys. I'm Silent Mike with 2 Ks on Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Jim McD, STTV, on Instagram and Twitter.
STD?
That's
gonna
yeah.
be supplement.
That's our next supplement.
Actually.
D3 supplement.
Actually,
no
you know, the
No,
the
but how great would that be?
That would be sick.
Back in the day when we got our first ST shirts, somebody asked what that was, what that stood for. We said sexually transmitted. So.
Perfect.
That really happened.
Well, you need to have an arrow pointing down.
Arrow pointing down. Yeah. Well, it was. I'll have to pull up the old image at some point. It actually, it looked like a tattoo
Superman,
artist designed
the
first
right?
one. And it, yeah, but it pointed like down. Yeah, it looked like a dick. Anyway, okay. So follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, Facebook.com/supertraininggym, and somewhere else, supertraining.tv. Check us out.
Subscribe to Power Magazine at thepowermagazine.com. If you choose the digital edition, you can catch up on all the great back issues, take your training to the next level with Slingshot products at howmuchyoubench.net, and look for PSN products including NO Explode at bodybuilding.com. Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of supertraining.tv.